Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Tomorrow, in addition to the Moist line, which I'll talk about in a moment, one of our special guests in the 3 o'clock hour will be an attorney named Greg Smith. His client is LAPD officer Matthew Garza. All of this takes us back to Mayor Yoga Pants. Garza's the one that has sued the city over the ridiculous sex harassment he claims he suffered at the hands of former top Garcetti aide Rick Jacobs. Garza was at one time the bodyguard for Garcetti. That would include the road trips. I don't know if this was back when Garcetti was running for president. Laugh, laugh. But anyway, Jacobs would constantly harass him through touch, comments. And after he sued, several other people came forward and said that they were also subject to this type of behavior from Rick Jacobs. This lawsuit and the branches that came out of it eventually caused a little problem for Garcetti. Reports were he was going to be a cabinet appointee in the Biden administration, but that got scuttled. And instead, he's been nominated to be the next ambassador to India. Now that's on hold. There are two U.S. senators now, Republicans from Iowa, who've decided they want to take a closer look at these whistleblowers and their reports that Jacobs did indeed harass numerous Garcetti staffers, and Garcetti either saw it or at least heard about it. He has denied both.
Yeah, he just does the big lie, the big stonewall. Just keeps denying louder and louder.
So Greg Smith will be our guest tomorrow at 3:05. The development today was that an internal report, internal investigation was done where, remarkably, the investigator concluded that Garcetti was not guilty and neither was Jacobs.
That's right.
Just didn't happen. Not credible.
Hired a whitewashing lawyer to say nothing happened. I guess right. This was all, everybody just had a hallucination and they all had the same hallucination. They all smoking the same mushroom. How does everybody have a hallucination about Rick Jacobs grabbing them, forcing his mouth on them, Garcetti giggling at it, all the conversations about Garcetti? Everybody just really imagine the same thing? I mean,
and Garcetti, by the way, had set up this special harassment hotline for city employees to report such behaviors after we had the big fallout from the Me Too in 2017.
That's right. The distraction cover story.
All right. Now we move over to a story we'd spent a lot of time on, and it's been a year ago. That was the clearing out of Echo Park Lake. Who remembers that in the Echo Park neighborhood of Los Angeles? There were at one point upwards of 200 people who were living in there, and they made the place a disgusting mess. Finally, even the city council member for the district, Mitchell Farrell, had enough, and he put together an operation.
The cruise ship
dancer. Which
began
with signage. You're the cruise ship dancer, right? And also his Native American heritage.
Right.
Anyway, they put up signage to tell people it's time to go. Then the night came where they all had to go, and mostly the ones left fighting were activists. They really weren't any of the vagrants. What we have is a new report out of UCLA. Where are these people a year later? Not the activists, the homeless that were in Echo Park Lake. Here is a report on it from CBS2's Chris Holmstrom.
This is my own place now. I'm so happy to have it. It's not that big, but it's very comfortable.
New beginnings for Gustavo Otsoy.
This is me when I was at Echo Park.
He was one of nearly 200 people living at Echo Park.
It's not that we wanted to be there. What happened is that we have no choice but to be there.
Otsoy spent 11 long months there and just recently got a place to call home.
Well, I did move here like 1 month ago, but before here I was in a regular hotel. Yes, I feel so happy living here.
Last March, chaos ensued after LAPD tried to close the park for renovations. Homeless advocates fought back, saying those who lived there had the right to stay.
No.
The park was closed and everyone was forced to leave. The city promised people would be giving housing options, but not everyone was as fortunate as Otsoy. According to a new report by researchers at UCLA, of the 183 people who were living at the park, only 17 are in long-term housing.
17.
Nearly 50 are in temporary shelters, and the rest are unaccounted for.
I think what is really heartbreaking is that 82 people have disappeared, right? They've been exited from the system. No one knows where they are. And another 15 have returned to homelessness.
Ananya Roy is the director of UCLA Inequality and Democracy. She says the Echo Park enclosure and eviction is a turning point in LA.
It's a good job.
And city leaders gave promises about housing they couldn't keep.
No one's getting housed. The second is we've got to get serious then about recognizing that there are only a few housing resources, but at this moment, there's a lot of federal and state money.
And while Otsoy has the freedom he always wanted, he's still fighting for thousands who are still on the streets.
Why focus
we
on
still
him?
Have to fight
That's
a lot. We still have a lot of people that really need
help. The only guy they could find.
And I also reached out to the LA Homeless Services Authority for an update on the eviction.
They were out drinking.
I'm still waiting to hear back.
Yeah, right. They've got nothing. You could wait another 5 years.
Well, you should go to the
They wanted to focus on the one guy that's apparently found permanent housing.
Yeah.
Gustavo Otsoy.
Is it possible he doesn't have a drug or alcohol addiction and he doesn't have a mental illness?
Well, listening to him, I wasn't sure of either.
I don't know. I'm just wondering, like, why is...
He may be missing teeth. I didn't see the video.
See, that's the thing is, these stories are so useless. Why did he end up homeless? What led him there?
Exactly.
And why is he the guy who...
You notice all the emphasis is just so they have to find housing.
Yeah, yeah.
We're responsible for everybody and everything.
We've got to give everybody an
$800,000. If it's not permanent housing, then it's a failure. Only 60% are unaccounted for.
Well, maybe the 60% want to live outdoors.
Oh, yeah, they're squatting
wild.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
Some probably went to Venice where they got moved on from there.
Has it ever occurred to these ninnies... There isn't one stinking program you will ever come up with to convince a crazy person or a drug addict to go indoors and follow rules. There is no such program. If they want to live in the wilds and snort meth and inject heroin, they're going to do that. And there's nothing you can do to change their mind. Your programs don't work. All your outreach. They don't care about your outreach. You're just wasting our money.
Yeah, the park is still fenced and kind of looks nice, though. I'm looking at the video now that we just played.
The reason these people believe in the fantasy that you can outreach and rehab people is because it creates a well-paying industry for them. If this didn't pay so well, you wouldn't see these people on TV wailing about, oh, this is just awful that these people are not getting the treatment that they need. They don't want your treatment. You want to give them treatment because you have a well-paying job in this scam industry using our tax money. That's your motivation. Your motivation when you get up in the morning is not to help anybody. You couldn't care less. You know it's a failure. You know all these programs don't work, but you know you make a lot of money. And as long as there are homeless people laying around, you are going to do really well in life. You are going to end up going on nice vacations. Your kids are going to go to a good school. You're going to live in a better house. And so you're happy to have this homeless problem unsolved. And conveniently, nothing works. None of your programs work. None of them.
Well, look, the bottom line is here, these people have to help themselves.
Well, they're
not going. You cannot become their parent and guardian and build them beautiful, permanent housing. They have to have the will to do something about their lives first. This approach, which came up in the mayor's debate, it's all about, I'm going to build my housing.
Yeah. Well, it's failed.
These people have a lot of dysfunctions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, some other problems, where they want to live outside and live without rules.
And you know what?
You're not going to change that by putting up either a shelter or an apartment building or whatever. You'll change a few lives, but look at these stats. These people were giving housing options. Now 60% of them are unaccounted for, and only 9% are in some type of long-term housing.
And
because you haven't dealt with their dysfunctions.
And
that's the problem.
And they don't know how to. They don't know how. When you have people who are resistant to help, you're not going to fix their trauma.
It's not our responsibility. You have to decide for yourself that you're going to straighten out your life. Can't do that for you.
You know what? I'm tired of hearing about their problems. I really am.
Well, but that's the thing. It's gotten distorted into we just have to find housing.
Well,
let's build more housing.
You know what? People have to say no. You have to start saying no. It's like, we tried it your way. We've tried 5 years, billions of dollars. Everything got worse. You're a failure. I mean, the numbers about the Garcetti era that we talked about yesterday. 2013, right. We had 23,000 homeless people. We were spending $10 million a year. We are now spending $1 billion a year, 100 times more, 100 times more, and homelessness has doubled. Well, have you ever heard of a bigger failure in your life? Have you ever heard of any problem where the budget increase was 100 times more in only 8 years, and you doubled the problem? Only Garcetti could pull off something like that. Can you imagine in 2013 if we had told him, you know what? 8 years from now, you are going to get 100 times the money you have. He would have told you homelessness would be cured completely. And instead, it doubled. What does that tell you about the whole system and all their theories and all their idiotic programs? They don't work.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt, Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
At this exact time tomorrow, we'll have the Moistline folks here for you. You can still be a part of it. You can leave a message at 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886, or you can use your iHeartRadio app. Handy. Just get to the KFI, John and Ken section and use the talkback mic. Leave a message there. Here's a new development tonight in the hostilities. Should I call it hostilities between Ukraine and Russia?
So what is this, special military operation?
That's what the Russians are calling it.
Yeah, right.
Special military.
They're
trying to free the Ukrainian people from the Nazis.
Whatever they say on Russian TV, that's the truth.
This is Ukraine claiming that the Russians are forcibly taking hundreds of thousands of people from the country into Russia. Maybe to use them as hostages. Lyudmila Denisova, Ukraine's ombudsman, ombudsperson, said 402,000 people, including 84,000 children, have been taken against their will. The Kremlin agrees with those numbers, but said they wanted to go to Russia. So there you go. Claiming that they're from that predominantly Russian-speaking eastern region, and they do want to go. So that's the breakout of that latest dispute. Are the people leaving of their own will?
No.
Or are they being spirited away as hostages to get Ukraine to give up?
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Police Protective League has done another poll. I didn't know they had done one previous. This deals with the recall effort against the L.A. County District Attorney, George Gascon. They polled 800 Los Angeles primary election voters, and they found that a majority, it's not a strong one, but it is a majority, 41% said yes to the recall, 36% said no. Now, they said that they did this a year ago, and only 36% said yes. and 49% said no. That, they say, is an 18-point swing that demonstrates that there is real momentum behind the recall effort against George Gascon. So that's good news.
Yeah, because I don't think any news is going to come out that's going to look good for Gascon, because all his policies have bad consequences. There's going to be more people not being prosecuted, not being sentenced. There's more people that Gascon is trying to help get out early.
Right.
There's going to be more repeat criminals harming, you know, stabbing, shooting, killing. Right? Because the only logical outcome of what he believes in is more crime and suffering, more victims. There is no other way. This is a one-way path. People getting hurt, dying, people getting their cars stolen, their homes broken into, stores being looted. Because he does not believe in laws and consequences. So
that's, and, you know, we mentioned this earlier in the show. It was reported by the chief of LAPD, Michael Moore, to the Los Angeles Police Commission this week. As there's been a definite uptick in robberies in the city of L.A. They're up 44% since last year, armed robberies. People are going to look at that, know that that's real, because eventually you're going to know somebody that's a victim, or you're going to see the news stories, you're going to hear the statistic. And what are you going to do with that? Well, yeah, you could follow all the advice about, you know, don't wear flashy jewelry and be careful of your surroundings. But some are going to say, what's going on with this DA? All I'm hearing is stories about how he's going easy on criminals.
Yeah.
And that's gonna bounce against him.
Well, yeah, because you have 2,000 armed robberies between January 1st and March 19th. 2.5 months. 2,000 robberies. And many of them make the news. And they're all over the Nextdoor app. There is a constant drumbeat on the
Nextdoor.
People
like those stories.
And you know, this is the undercurrent that people don't see. There's stuff going on the internet that, you know, doesn't make the 11 o'clock news necessarily, but it's people reporting, hey, you know, some guy tried to break in. I scared him away and my dog scared him away. Hey, I saw a car full of suspicious people in front of my house. And, you know, hey, somebody stole packages from my apartment lobby. Somebody busted into my mailbox. There's a lot of that that gets, and generally they say, I don't even call the police. What's the point? Police won't come.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of unreported stuff.
There's a lot of unreported stuff, which is why, you know, statistics are just a piece of the story. When somebody's using crime statistics, they're trying to hide the story. The real story is what's going on in people's lives, and that's what's going to determine their vote. They feel angry, and they feel scared. And now with the Nextdoor app, it happens to you. You let hundreds of other people know almost immediately. And then you're seeing everybody in your section of town report that every day. There's not a day goes by where I don't see something, you know, within a couple of miles of my house, something happening.
That mayor's debate the other night, Gascon was an entire topic.
Yeah.
In case you missed it. And obviously, Rick Caruso supports the recall. So does Joe Buscaiano, who's pretty much the first of this group. But I love the answers that came from Karen Bass. I just don't support recalls. Wait for the regular election. Oh, wait for the regular election?
No. It's because she supports Gascon.
You do that as 2024.
Yeah. No. When,
for this office.
I don't understand. Somebody like Gascon, career politician, they think being a politician is sacred ground. All of us can be fired, even if we have contracts. All of us can lose our jobs. But somehow, a public official like Gascon or Bass, they can't get recalled? Why? You mean you could really... Who can stink at their job for 4 years and not get fired? Nobody I know. I've never heard of a person stink at their job for 4 years
and not get booted. Oh, but you got to give them more time. Give them a chance.
That's not the way it works. That in most people's lives...
His reforms will win out. You'll see.
And so, you know what? What I notice is she's not passionate about crime. She says what she has to say in cliches. Oh, well, yes, I agree. I understand people are feeling scared, and they have every right to how they feel. And, you know, we have to hold criminals accountable.
Yeah, I know. She's very good at the pat answers.
But it's a bland cliche. There's no fire. There's no detail. There's no sense that she really cares. She gives the impression
she's kind of taking a very standard stance, right?
Yeah. It's
stating the obvious and saying, "Oh, it's terrible."
Her body language is okay. This is the part where I have to go through the crime cliches that I care. You get no sense that she loses any sleep over it. And right. Gascon is her buddy. They've always been buddies. He's one of them. She's one of them. But, she's got a good smile, and that's going to carry her a certain distance. But you watch her closely, listen to her closely, and she's a total progressive in the Bonin-Gascon mold.
I really think without a doubt that November, it's Karen Bass against Rick Caruso. That's going to be the two. I am like 95% certain that's how it's going to fall out after the June vote.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a new poll yet. He's only been in.
No. There's never been a poll since he entered the race.
Right. The ones that came out earlier, he actually did score, but not much.
But you saw what happened on Tuesday night is that all the candidates were going after him, except Karen Bass, because she has.
He's a friend, she said.
Yeah.
A longtime friend.
Caruso's friends with all those people. He's giving them all money. They show up at his events.
Playing it safe.
Well, because he's a businessman. He's got he's got the most successful business in the city.
Well, now he's got to chop him to bits. And if he takes her on one-on-one, he's really got to come on stronger.
Yeah.
If that happens. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere. On the iHeartRadio app.
Everywhere. I like when you paused. I thought there was something good coming. I'm always hopeful it'll be like a new line.
No, same line.
You're just a wind-up machine.
You want to read it? You can come up with something colorful. Live everywhere. Go ahead. You fill it.
No, but I love after years and years, and then they change it, and you just can't. It takes you months to come up with the new regurgitation.
I work on automatic.
Yeah, I know you do.
You have to.
Much a man of habit. Mm-hmm. Same thing over and over every day, right?
The whole day.
The whole day is a replica.
That's right. Today's exact copy of yesterday. Same day tomorrow.
Much was made yesterday over the buzz created by Governor Dippity-Doo Newsom that they're going to give money back to people over the rising gas prices. His proposal, as it came out, was $400 debit cards, but not until July. Oh, free transit, too.
No,
free transit.
Who cares? Nobody takes transit. Not even the poor people can take transit.
So the legislature has to work on this. One of the stories that popped up, which is worth talking about because it's a reminder that they're not doing this because they're looking at suffering Californians who are having a tough time with all the rising prices, including the gas prices, they actually have to do this. You see, while of course the 70s brought us a great proposition that limited property taxes, Prop 13, it also brought us a couple of years later something called the GAN limit. And the only time this came up in the history of the John and Ken Show was when Tom McClintock brought it up. Remember that? He used to always bring this up.
Well, it's an old, forgotten, like arcane little wiggle in the law that right. Under certain circumstances, the state government can be compelled to refund tax money to the citizens. But you have to have a circumstance that's just right.
There's basically a spending cap. On the state.
After you adjust for inflation and population increase. And
that's right. And that's what Tom used to always say. And he used to always talk about that. The projected budget surplus right now as it stands is an amazing $46 billion. And I remember doing this show back when Dopey Schwarzenegger was governor and even, I guess, Jerry Brown. And well, you can go back to Gray Davis with the huge deficits. I mean, what really turned this around is the upside-down nature of this state. The fact that we do have some very, very, very wealthy people. They're not big in number, but they pay a hell of a lot of taxes. And when the stock market's been on the run it's been on the past couple of years, there's an occasional little belch in there, but it's been growing And I mean, you look at those numbers and you compare them just a few years ago, you'll see the tremendous growth in particularly in people investment. So with that brings capital gains and more tax money.
The stock market has basically doubled since the beginning of the pandemic. After that last crash, then it's doubled since then.
So Newsom tries to pretend this is just a great state and an economic behemoth, but not really. It's dependent on the very few people who make a real hell of a lot of money to hand over a lot of taxes. I mean, that's going to come to an end. So far this year, things have been a little bumpier with the markets. I don't think it's anything like it was the last 2 years. So far, who the hell knows? But the fact is, eventually, because they already sidestepped this a couple of years ago, with these surpluses, they're going to have to figure out a way to return money to people. So they're now using, quote, the excuse of rising prices and rising gas prices to come up with a way to do this that makes them look like, look at us. We are reaching out and helping California taxpayers by returning some of the money. But the truth is, they have to do this.
Mm-hmm. And they're using the gas tax as a smokescreen for something they have to do.
Right.
So this is not something where you could say, oh, finally, he's understanding the hardship we're going through here. If he really understood that, he would suspend the gas tax for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
But since he's got to give back money anyway, why not give it through this gas tax rebate debit card? Because now he looks like he's hopping on the top concern of the moment.
California is expected to blow past what is called the GAN limit by $2.6 billion. That may even be a conservative estimate. Now, they have discretion with this, which is the unfortunate part in terms of how they want to deal with, quote, giving money back. Some of it has to go to education.
Oh, sure.
The great money pit of K through 12.
Yeah, more payoffs for the teachers' unions.
Right.
Who again, up until just a week ago, were still trying to extort money or they wouldn't agree to the mask mandate being lifted.
Right.
So they can always, when money goes to education, it doesn't mean it changes your child's experience. It means the teachers get another bump.
The only time they did this and had to do this was actually 35 years ago when they returned over $1 billion to taxpayers back in 1987. They ran into this problem a couple of years ago, but they were able to sidestep it with a couple of budgetary maneuvers. But we've now been running surpluses for several years in a row, and that puts them up against this.
Yeah, they try to get out of it if they can.
Right.
But here, you know, it works, right? Everybody's upset about the taxes, so hey, throw them a bone.
And in fact, what Newsom did was he sent $12 billion back to Californians making less than $75,000. This was the $601,000 COVID relief checks. So that's they used the surplus for some of that. They're going to try to do the same thing again. What I'm saying is they're going to try to give all the money they're giving this time to poor people. I know it's going to come out that way.
You know, I was
even though Newsom's talking about giving everybody with a car $400 debit cards, I don't think that's going to be the final result.
When I was driving in today, I heard, I think it was on Fox Business, the mayor of Taft up by Bakersfield.
Look,
the guy we had on the other day, Dave, what was his last name?
Noor.
Yeah. He was talking to the Fox reporter. They were standing at on the oil fields. And, you know, $6 a gallon gas here in California. And they're standing on a huge oil reservoir there.
Right.
And making a very clear point that we could be pumping this out of the ground fairly quickly. We have the people who live in the area who can do this. It would take a little while to get it actually on the market, but hey, you've got $6 a gallon gas,
and everything, the answer's right here. Yeah.
Everything from out of state is expensive. This is the least expensive option. It is plentiful, and Newsom, through his executive orders and his stupid green energy obsession, refuses to do it. And just the way he laid it out, and it probably even looked more effective on TV, you realize what idiots we have running this state. $6 gas. I mean, for people who are struggling in the lower classes, this is an overwhelming burden on them. And a prissy little Newsom up in Sacramento, he's wealthy, he's got plenty of money, he lives in a big mansion, probably doesn't drive himself. So $6 a gallon doesn't mean anything to his sorry life.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere. Wait for it. On the iHeartRadio app.
There's a story tonight that the wife of Chief Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, Ginny, was working behind the scenes to try to overturn the 2020 election.
Oh, she's
reaching out to the chief of staff for Trump, trying to get him to arrange how to fight this.
Oh, yeah. She's out there. She's a major activist.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she swims in deep waters.
Oh, we have another school board story. This one, I can't help it. The way I read it, it seemed cartoonish because I'm trying to imagine that how it unfolded. Apparently, this is in Flint, Michigan. Flint Community Schools Board of Education president by the name of Danielle Green has been removed from her position. She apparently took offense to something that the school district treasurer, Laura McIntyre, was saying during a committee meeting. And according to what we're hearing in reports, she actually got up, walked over to where McIntyre was sitting, and slammed her head straight down into the desk, then grabbed her throat and punched her multiple times. McIntyre suffered a concussion, and there was blood.
There was blood!
Blood.
You believe this?
And it's like something you see in the Stooges movie, because Mo would sometimes bang their heads
bang, bang, bang.
But I would imagine she was in such shock she didn't see it coming.
There was, well, when was the last time you heard of a school board member beating up the treasurer?
Throttling the treasurer.
Throttling her, too.
They're claiming it was unprovoked. It was a 10 a.m. meeting, too. It wasn't one of these nighttime things where everybody's tired and this woman just lost her cool.
10 in the morning? That's pretty early to get into a fight.
There was no fight. There was no argument, someone said. It was an emergency meeting, and she just walked over there with no escalation.
Right. Well, I mean,
and just started banging her head against the desk.
Something must have triggered her. Maybe something before the meeting?
I had read, I think it's a different story I read this morning, that the treasurer made some comment that the school board president just took offense to. But I don't have
any. I want to hear the comment.
But,
I mean, when you're a grown woman and you're pounding another woman's head into the desk repeatedly and punching her and choking her.
Yeah. These school board things have really become unbelievable battles, haven't they? Not only between parents, but now board members
and
treasurers.
Because these arrogant bastards have acted like the Supreme Court for so long, and no one was ever questioning them. Most people were intimidated. Actually, most people didn't care.
Right.
Nobody goes to a school board meeting. And then everybody got Zoom school for a year and a half and realized a lot of the public school systems are really effed up. And they're teaching a lot of nonsense. And a lot of teachers are crazy and the curriculum's nuts. And there's all kinds of weird political agendas. And 2 + 2 isn't 4 anymore. And that's not a joke. And so everybody's had it.
Yeah, it was something about deficit reduction. That's all they were talking about. It was an emergency meeting about how to reduce the district deficit. I wonder if the treasurer made some comment about the spending of the school board president or something along those lines?
Yeah, maybe, because the treasurer would just be the one keeping track of
the spending and
the spending,
money, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, and the president would be the spender.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just, any video of that? I mean,
usually they do stream these things.
Yeah, they live stream everything now.
Yeah, maybe there is somewhere.
I want to see if it is like a Stooges.
Throttling her head against
the desk. There was no blood. There was never blood in the Stooges film, right?
No, but they did get hurt. I mean, I read many backstories about how they sometimes really did hurt each other.
They got hit in the head with 2x4s, and they'd have their eyes poked in.
Well, I used to think the 2x4s were probably like paper, plastic kind of.
Oh, I think they were real.
They were 2x4s.
It would be funny if they weren't real. They have to be real. All right, Conway here, or is he?
Oh, it's me. It's Thompson. Come on now.
Oh,
Thompson.
Just look at the schedule.
You know what? Nobody told me.
He by the way, just on the Stooges thing.
Yeah.
Not to be a downer, but Bob Saget told me on my podcast, and also I think wrote about it in his book. He befriended Larry, who's one of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
At the Screen Actors Home or whatever, the older Screen Actors.
Yeah. Okay. Retirement
so
home,
yeah. So he said on this issue of whether or not they actually got hurt, that Larry complained that Mo in particular really was too tough with him and that he really did get hurt in a lot of the scenes, which I always thought was like, because I'm kind of with John. Like, I can't believe you're telling me that's a real 2x4. What kind of, you know, can't believe it.
Maybe it was.
He used to tear his hair out. Remember? What if he actually tore his hair out?
Yeah. He said that literally was for real.
What was the eye poking thing? Like, what was he?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He always looked like he was gouging his eyes out.
Yeah, I mean, there was real physical contact, and it wasn't pleasant. So, anyway.
Maybe that's why he was in the nursing home.
That could be. It might have shortened his little show business life. Yeah. We've got quite the show for Conway. It's kind of a cavalcade of stars, to be honest.
Great. Wow.
Sure. Yeah, we've got...
Jay Leno was great last night.
Leno was just so terrific.
I thought he started the show by saying, Tim's in rehab. That was a good opening.
He did.
There's always a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. You mean with Conway or just in general?
In general.
Okay. Buzzy Cohen, the Jeopardy champion, he hosted the Tournament of Champions. He's going to be through. He's got a new show with ABC's on the show, The Chase. But we're going to ask him about his whole... He's got the wildest life. He's just a very interesting guy. We'll talk about the California gas rebate plan, of course. Allison Martino, she does Vintage Los Angeles. She'll talk about that. Her world is all of that licorice pizza kind of land.
Right.
Sam Rubin will be by to preview the Oscars, and Fritz Coleman joins us as well. Life after the weather map.
Fritz. Yeah,
he's just the very, very best. So all of that, and I'm joined.
It'll be like a weatherman retirement home.
Yeah, it will be. We'll jam a little bit. We'll do a whole ISO bar.
Wow,
ISO
show.
Wow. Yeah, it really is packed. And Josh Robert Thompson, who is a brilliant voice of the Kelly Clarkson show, will sidekick for a while tonight. I'm looking forward to having him in too. He's a lot of fun. He's very funny. So it's a big show. Big show, boys.
It's
big show.
Like a clubhouse tonight.
We got to get out of
it's
here.
It's going to be a clubhouse.
All your buddies are over.
Yeah,
all right.
Look at that.
All right, that's Mark Thompson coming up in for the rehabbing Tim Conway.
Oh, John.
Let's spread that. John and Ken show. Grosjer is the news. KFI AM 640. And no, wait, it's KFI KOST HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Carol Jean.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.